24th, 2006. March 24th, 2006. This House Special Committee on Ways and Means, sorry. President Representative Seaton, Representative Moses, Representative Wilson, and myself. And today we are going to have a presentation by the Alaska Retirement Management Board. This was a new board that was constituted from the PERS and TERS boards. It's actually maybe renamed. And the members of the board here and the staff of the board through the Department of Revenue are here. And at this time, I'd like the chair of the board to come forward, if you could. And I understand. Why don't you go ahead and you can stay there. We're loading some things on the computer, and we'll go ahead and do that while you make your preliminary introduction remarks. And Madam Chair, if you could do me a favor and introduce the members of the board, too. And then if you want staff or anyone else from the board to accompany you rather than waste time later on, if you could bring them forward now so they could address. Otherwise, we'll just go with you, however you want to manage your presentation.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Gail Schubert, and as you said, I'm the chair of the Alaska Retirement Management Board. The board is currently meeting in Juneau, and we do have trustees from the board here with me. And so I'd like to introduce them. In the audience, we have Mrs. Harbo.
And then, Ms. Schubert, as you introduce them, would you please explain their affiliation or their position? I think when the governor made the appointments to the board, he asked, or the law required that certain members of the board be representative of certain types of entities or from a certain background. And if you have that information, or if Mr. Bader can help you with that information, it might be helpful to just put it in context, too.
Okay, thank you. Mrs. Harbo represents the teachers' retirement system. We also have Mr. Trivett in the room.
No, Sam Trivett, no.
And he represents the PERS system. Mr. Simmons, who represents the municipal government.
And this is Larry Simmons?
Yes.
From Kenai?
Yes.
And he's testified previously,
he
Mr.
has.
Simmons.
And also Mr. Mike Williams, who is a PERS representative.
And Mike Williams is a PERS representative. Okay.
Yes.
And where Mr. Williams is from where? Anchorage.
Department of Revenue, Anchorage.
Okay. And then you have counsel also to the board here?
Yes. We have Rob Johnson, who is our outside
Johnson.
Legal counsel.
Thank you for coming, Mr. Johnson. And anyone else here present?
We also have Susan Taylor from the Department of Revenue.
Susan Taylor. And she serves as staff to the ARM? Hi,
yes.
Susan.
And we also have Melanie Milhorn with the Department of Administration.
And Melanie's been here many times, and thank you, Melanie, for coming again today. Now,
and also Gary Bader, our Chief Investment Officer.
All right. Can't forget Gary.
I'm sorry. We also have Deputy Commissioner Tom Boutin with
Mr.
the Department
Boutin.
Of Revenue here.
And we're joined by Representative Samuels. There are other members of the ARM board. If you could just give their names, if you could, that are not here, just so we have the team.
Okay. Commissioner Corbis with the Department of Revenue is also on the board, and Commissioner Nordstrand.
Commissioner Nordstrand is with the Department of Administration, and Commissioner
yes.
Corbis with the Department of Revenue.
And Mr. Martin Peel, who is not here, he's a public member like I am.
Martin Peel, he's retired out of Ketchikan, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, he is.
Okay. All right. Anyone else?
Oh, I'm sorry, and we also have a vacancy. Mr. Bob Rose has resigned from the board because he has filed to run for political office.
Bob Rose has?
Bob Roses.
Roses?
Yes.
Roses. And he's, what town is he from?
He lives in Anchorage.
Anchorage, okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. Schubert. Go ahead with your testimony, if you could.
Okay. Today the committee will hear a report from the actuary that is not good news, unfortunately. The unfunded liability of the public employees retirement system and the teacher retirement systems is significantly higher than it was this time last year. The unfunded liability of the public employees retirement system is now $4.4 billion, and the unfunded liability of the teachers retirement system is $2.5 billion. The combined total is $6.9 billion. When Mr. Bader previously testified before the committee, he stated that the ARM board had asked the actuary to estimate the amount of annual supplemental appropriations required to retire the unfunded liability using various amortization periods and capped contribution rates. We have received that data based upon the fiscal year 04 valuation reports and expect to receive data for the fiscal year 05 valuation shortly. One thing that is clear to the ARM board is that there is an actuarial cost to failing to address the unfunded liability. The board has considered a number of strategies to address the unfunded liability question. Among those strategies are pension obligation bonds, which are addressed in HB 278, past service cost offset accounts in HB 238, retirement benefit liability accounts in HB 375, which I believe is your bill. And this afternoon, the board will also hear a report on using natural gas royalties. It's the view of the board that we must begin to address the unfunded liability this year. The board is giving serious discussion to an approach that borrows ideas embedded in some of the legislation previously mentioned and combines them with some ideas of our own. We hope to be back to you soon with specifics, but I can ask Mr. Simmons now to share some of the concepts that we're considering for the TERS system.
Let me pause at this phase, and we'll do this throughout your presentation, and see if there's questions on this. If the answer is it'll be addressed in later presentations, we'll just accept that as your answer and then wait for the responses. But let me ask the committee, are there any questions of Ms. Schubert at this time? Okay, thank you.
With the chair's permission, I'd like to ask Mr. Simmons.
Oh, sure. Thank you, Mr. Simmons.
Thank you, Chair Schubert. Committee, we are working on a...
Why don't you pull that mic a little closer?
The ARM board is considering an approach.
Just for the record, Mr. Simmons, if you could, I know you're with the ARM board, but you also have another affiliation. If you could just state that for the record.
Thank you. My name is Larry Simmons. I'm the finance director at the City of Kenai.
Thank you.
I'm here representing the ARM board. The ARM board is considering a proposed solution to the TERS underfunding problem. That is patterned after the school debt reimbursement program. Many of you are aware of that program, I'm sure, where the state has agreed to fund a certain percentage of outstanding school debt. And that amount of money gets put in the state's budget every year, and it's an accepted program. And our thought is that this fix to the TERS program will become an accepted program like that. This would require an annual allocation to an employer based on its qualifying payroll 2 years earlier, the past service cost rate, and the amount appropriated by the state for past service retirement benefit liability program. The point of that is that it will produce a known calculated amount every year. We think that it is critical that the budget include a known amount every year. The benefits
that just simply that goes to the TERS.
This is just to TERS, and I'll mention PERS in a moment.
Thank you.
The ARM board would set the benefits to this. The ARM board would set the contribution rates at the level recommended by the actuary. As you know, right now, those contribution rates are significantly lower than the actuary has recommended. This program would allow the ARM board to set the rate at what our expert consultants tell us to set the rate at. Since the employers would be required to pay the full calculated rate, non-general revenue programs like federal programs would pay their full cost. It provides a mechanism for the state to give relief to all non-state employers with an unfunded retirement liability. That's something I didn't mention. This does not apply to state members of PERS like University of Alaska. Can be budgeted with precision, like I mentioned, because we're using historical data. And it would allow the legislature to make pro rata payments, obviously. If you can't fund the full program, you could prorate it. And it creates a constituency across Alaska for this program because of the number of school districts and school members of the TERS. Now, as to the PERS program, We're considering a similar approach to PERS, but there's difficulties or challenges, you might say, to the allocation. TERS is simpler because everyone pays the same rate. So we're working on that, and we hope to get back to you soon with that.
Thank you, Mr. Simmons. Any questions, Mr. Simmons, at this point? Okay, Ms. Schubert.
That concludes our testimony at this time, and I believe the actuaries are going to present.
Okay, why don't we hear from Buck Consultants, and then I know I'm going to have questions for Mr. Bader and yourself after we hear this. And then this presentation, Ms. Schubert, who's planning to go through this? Is this Buck or is this Buck? Okay. Good morning. If you go ahead for the record, introduce yourself, sir, and your affiliation.
All right. My name is Dave Slashinsky. I'm a consulting actuary with Buck Consultants. With me is Michelle DeLange, senior consultant. We've recently performed the actuarial valuation on the public employees retirement system and the teachers retirement system as of June 30th, 2005. We've prepared a presentation here that we went over with the Alaska Retirement Management Board yesterday. There's a lot of detail in here. What I'd like to do is just give you a brief overview of the actuarial process and then go into the results that we have come up with regards to a replication we performed on the 2004 actuarial valuation results, and then go through the 2005 results for you.
One thing in terms of your management of your time is we are going to have to adjourn at 10 for session, so we can't allow as much time as you had for arm board, so you're going to have to hit the high points of this, so you may not have been able to do that.
That's okay. What I'm planning to do, and hopefully we'll have enough time. Let's see. First of all, just with regards to the actuarial process, it is a snapshot in time. We collect information, data on all of the members that are participating in the plan, the assets of the plan. We use a set of actuarial assumptions in an attempt to predict the future benefit payments that are going to be paid out of both the pension plan and the health care plan, and come up with a measurement of the benefit obligation or the present value of benefits, and then develop a funding percent that, along with the assets, will systematically fund the pension benefits and the health care benefits that are being provided to all of the members of the plan. And that's just basically what an actuarial valuation is. It is a snapshot in time. And then we collect that information and we project that forward to come up with the value of the expected benefit payments. In addition to the valuation that we performed in 2005, we are the new actuary. So our process is to go through the actuarial valuation previously that the prior actuary performed. And our attempt here is to replicate the numbers that were produced by the prior actuary in the prior valuation. So this is the June 30th, 2004 valuation results. In addition to doing that replication, we reviewed the assumptions and the methods. This was done for the public employees retirement system and the teachers system. Comments on that review with regards to the actuarial cost method. What's being used right now is what is called the projected unit credit method, and there are about six different actuarial cost methods that are approved by the Governmental Accounting Standards Board for purposes of producing actuarial contribution rates and funded status amounts. The projected unit credit method is used primarily in the private sector. It's not used as much in the public sector because the pattern of costs for members increases from date of hire until retirement. So the pattern of the cost that's developed under this method increases over time. Most public plans use the entry age method that produces a more stable normal cost as a percentage of pay from date of hire until retirement. We found that the investment return assumption of 8.25% was reasonable given the current asset allocation policy of the ARM board. Payroll growth assumption we felt was a little overstated, but we have not made any changes to any of the assumptions or the methods for the 2005 valuation. Generally, the demographic assumptions were reasonable, but we are going to perform an experience analysis within the next couple of months, and we want to look in detail at the demographic assumptions to make sure that that they're reasonable and they closely match what the experience has been for both plans.
Does demographic assumption include longevity?
Yes, it includes mortality and life expectancy, retirement patterns, withdrawal patterns, disability, and the like. Some comments on the replication. We matched the Mercer results in 2004 pretty closely for the teachers' retirement system. There were some minor differences in the actuarial process, but some of those differences washed out. In other words, some of those differences increased liabilities, some decreased liabilities, and in total, the differences were not material. However, we had some significant differences in the valuation of the health care benefits for the public employees' retirement system. Our valuation of those benefits resulted in an accrued liability that was approximately 7% greater than what Mercer reported in 2004. There were some minor differences on the pension side, but they were not material. So primarily, the differences that we found were in PERS on the health care benefits. The results, the accrued liability, this is the value of the benefits that are accrued based on service to date for all active members, and also the value of benefits that are being paid to retirees, beneficiaries, and members that have terminated service and are eligible for future pension and health care benefits. The results for the teachers were very close. In total, our results were within 0.2% of Mercer results. Normal cost, we were slightly less by a little bit more than a half a percent of the normal cost amount. The rates in total were very close, a little over between 41% and 42% of pay. However, with regards to the public employees' retirement system, we had a difference in the health care liability that resulted in higher accrued liabilities for the PERS system. Normal cost amount also was higher due to the valuation of the benefit structure in the health care plan that was higher. And as a result, the contribution rates that we would have come up with in 2004 would have been 30.37% of pay and not 28.19% of pay. So a little bit more than 2% of pay greater in the PERS system. Okay, now let's turn our attention to the 2005 actuarial valuation results. So that was a snapshot as of 6/30/2004. We're collecting data as of 6/30/2005. We're going through the same process with changes in the data, changes in assets, and we're taking another look at the calculation of the liabilities and the assets. Just reviewing, we made no changes in the benefit provisions or the actuarial assumptions or any of the methodology. Just briefly going through the results of the valuation, we develop an actuarial value of assets that is different than the market value of assets that's reported by the auditor. We use techniques to smooth gains and losses in an attempt to cut back on the volatility of asset values from year to year. So we use what we call a five-year smoothing method. We determine the degree to which the gains, the investment return was better than or less than the expected return, and we take that amount and we recognize that at 20% over a five-year period. So in rolling forward the actuarial value of assets from 2004, which were $8,030,000,000, we add in the actual contributions that are made during the year of $293 million. We subtract out the benefit payments, the disbursements that were made of $567 million. We add in the expected return on market value based upon an 8.25% expected investment return of $663 million. to come up with a preliminary actuarial value of about $8.4 billion. And then we recognize 20% of these differences, these gains and losses, which in 2005 was $24 million. So the actuarial value that we're using for funding purposes in determining the unfunded liability is $8,443,000,000. Now, that's still very close to the market value, but there is still some future smoothing amounts of $148 million yet to be recognized over the next 4 years. To look at the history of the actuarial value versus the market value, we went back to 1996 through the prior actuarial valuation reports, and this graph shows that during the 90s there was a healthy growth in the assets, both the actuarial value shown by the blue line and the market value shown by the red line. Here again, there's a difference in the way in which the asset values are being determined. The actuarial value is being used, the smoothing techniques. So when the market was doing well, the actuarial value was less than the market value with the delayed recognition of those gains. The methodology was changed in 2002, and the actuarial value was set equal to the market value. Since then, the smoothing amounts have deviated just slightly, meant that the actuarial value is just a little bit different than the market value. A little bit about the data that's being used in the actuarial valuation. In 2005, there are 33,730 active members participating in the public employees retirement system. This does include fire and police. There are 20,703 retirees. Total number increased roughly by 2,300 up to 73,299. Annual compensation refers to the total salaries for the active members. It's now up slightly over $1.5 billion. Last year was $1,472,000,000. Here we're showing the assets compared to last year. The ratio of the actuarial value to the market value is about 98%, so represents about 2% of the future amounts yet to be smoothed and recognized for actuarial purposes. Annual benefit payments now are up to $567 million. That represents 6.6.
You have to speak up a little bit.
Okay, that represents 6.6% of the market value of assets. And accumulated member contributions are up slightly to almost $1.4 billion. In calculating the actuarial contribution, we calculate the amount of the accrued liability, and that's the value of the benefits for everyone based upon service as of the valuation date. In 2005, that amount is about $12.8 billion, and that compares with $11.4 billion last year. The actuarial value of assets now is up over $8.4 billion. By subtracting the assets from the liability, we calculate the unfunded liability, which is now $4.4 billion, up from $3.4 billion last year. The funded ratio is the ratio of the assets divided by the accrued liability. This year it's 65.7% versus 70.2% last year. In calculating the annual actuarial contribution, the normal cost represents the value of the benefits expected to accrue in the coming year from the date of the valuation, which is July 1, 2005, through June 30th, 2006, the value of the benefits to be accrued is $338 million versus $296 million last year. Amortizing the unfunded liability is amortized over a 25-year period. That amortization payment amount is calculated as $285 million. Last year was $219 million. So by adding the normal cost and the amortization payment, the amount of the annual contribution is $623 million, and that represents 39.27% of pay. Now, that's the total annual required contribution. The member contribution, members are contributing And by subtracting out that amount, which is $109 million, which represents about 6.8% of pay, the employer-required contribution then becomes $514 million, up from $415 million last year, or almost $100 million increase. And the contribution as a rate of pay is 32.43%. The 28.19% was from the Mercer report, but as we saw in our replication, it would have been over 30% last in 2004. We have a breakdown here between pension and health care benefits that shows the degree to which the accrued liability and the normal cost is split between pension and health care. There's a graph here that we've put together on the accrued.
About this graph.
Okay.
At the beginning of the presentation, the chair it indicated that the current estimate for unfunded liability for PERS was $4.4 billion and TERS was $2.5 billion with a $6.9 billion unfunded liability. Is the judicial retirement system and the National Guard and Naval Militia retirement systems, are their unfunded liabilities as so negligible with respect to the unfunded?
Those are small plans, and you know, if you want to come up with a total, it's not going to be much different than the $6.9 billion.
Now, on this this chart, then, on 2005, the blue, is that $6.9 billion?
Okay.
Is that
this value? Is showing the accrued liability. So this does not include the assets. When we calculate the unfunded liability, we calculate this number, and then we subtract out the assets. So what this does is this shows you a relative distribution of that accrued liability between pension and health care, and how it's changed over time. We've gone back to 1996 and shown the growth in both the pension liability and the health care liability. I think what this shows, if you just focus in on the blue part of those bars, the blue represents the accrued liability for the pension benefits, and there has been a pretty systematic growth in the value of the pension benefits over time. Nothing significant changes from one year to the next. Basically, what's happening here is that accrued liability increases with interest, and the cost of the accruing benefits, the normal cost, and it declines with the payment of benefits. This is a typical pattern that we see with ongoing pension systems, that accrued liability increases over time as members accrue additional benefits. If you look at the yellow part of the bars, which is the health care piece, you'll see some dramatic increases in 2002 and 2005. And generally, there's been a faster increase in the value of the accrued liability for the health care benefits versus the pension benefits. If you look at the next graph, what we've done here is we've said, okay, to what is the percentage breakdown of the accrued liability, and how does it split between pension and health care over the same period of time? In 1996, health care liabilities were less than 30% of the total liability. Pension was 71%. But over time, the liabilities of the health care benefits have been increasing faster than the value of the pension benefits. In 2005, the health care benefits are over 40% of the total liability of the benefits under the system. And this is the PERS system. Next graph just shows you a history of the funding ratios and how that's changed over time. In total now, the funded ratio is down to 66%. There were some major changes in the methodology in the 2002 valuation that decreased the funded ratios from 2001 at 101% down to 75%. And then there has been a decline in the funded ratios since 2002, shown in this graph. Now turning our attention to the teachers' retirement system. Here again, the actuarial value of assets last year was about $3.8 billion, adding in contributions of $150 million, subtracting out benefit payments and disbursements of $359 million, adding in an expected return on the market value of $314 million, gives us a preliminary actuarial value of almost $4 billion. There's a very small smoothing amount that's recognized in 2005 of $9 million. So the actuarial value is $3,959,000,000. There's still some deferred gains to be recognized in future years of $68 million. The market value of the assets is $4,027,000,000. This is a very similar graph to the one that we saw on the public employees retirement system. Here again, 2002, the assets, the asset method was changed for actuarial purposes and set equal to the market value. Since then, there's been very little difference between the actuarial value and the market value. With regards to the number of members that are covered under the teachers' retirement system, there are 9,656 active members. Here again, the when compared to the previous year, very little change in the number of active members that are covered under the plan. In total, there's 22,376 members, up from 21,865. Annual total compensation or salary for the active members is up to $536 million. Asset value is very, very similar to the PERS system, about 98% actuarial value versus market value. Annual benefit payments are now up to $359 million. That represents 8.9% of the market value, which is more than the public employees retirement system. And the accumulated member contributions on average are up to $50,000. Calculating the annual contribution, the value of the accrued liability for the teachers is now up to almost $6.5 billion. The actuarial value of assets, a little less than $4 billion, so the unfunded liability is about $2.5 billion, up from almost $2.3 billion last year. Funded ratios down slightly, about 61%. In calculating the annual contribution, normal cost represents the cost of the benefits accruing during the year. It's $119 million versus $117 million last year. These costs are a little bit more stable than under the public employees retirement system. The total contribution is $285 million. That's about 51% of pay. By subtracting out the member contributions, expected of $49 million or 8.7% of pay, the employer contribution then is $236 million or 42.14% of pay, up slightly from last year. Next table shows the breakdown between pension and health care. Just gives you a sense of how the accrued liability and the normal cost is split between pension and health care. Same graph as we showed for PERS and the teachers. We see the same general patterns here. There's a systematic increase in the pension liability. But the growth in the health care liability has been greater over this period of time. The percentage of the accrued liability for health care is becoming a greater part of the total liability for the teacher's system as well. However, the health care is less than, at least the percentage is less than in the public employees retirement system, a little bit more than 30% here. Funded ratios, very similar pattern. Funded ratios now in 2005 is down to 61%. And now just in summary, some comments and conclusions regarding the actuarial valuations and the results. There were modest gains on the market value experienced during the year. The rate of return was about 8.55% or 0.3% greater than what was assumed. There are still some gains that are being recognized from 2003 and 2004 in the actuarial results. and as a result, the actuarial value return was a little bit greater at 9.1%. So there were asset gains that acted to reduce the unfunded liability, and we'll see to what degree that is. There were losses on the liability due to decremental experience and healthcare experience and changes from the prior actuary, primarily on the public employees' retirement piece.
What's decremental experience?
It's the difference between what we expect and what actually happens with regards to life expectancy or deaths, patterns of retirement, the degree to which people terminate service, salary changes from 1 year to the next, those kinds of things. Okay. With regards to the unfunded liabilities, last year, 2004, these numbers for PERS and TERS come from the Mercer reports. The unfunded liability for PERS was roughly $3.4 billion. Now, this unfunded liability is being amortized over an increasing payroll. So the method is designed to provide an amortization payment that's relatively level as a percentage of pay. And as a result, as pay increases, the amount of the amortization payment increases. There's an expected increase in the amount of the unfunded liability because those amounts are not paying the interest portion of the unfunded liability yet. So for PERS, that amount is $65 million. The asset gain contributed to $35 million, so there's a reduction in the unfunded due to the asset gain. Decremental and other losses were $726 million. Of this, based on our changes from the Mercer calculations, that amount is $399 million. So we've made changes in the way in which the healthcare liability is being calculated, and that results in a $399 million increase. Other decremental losses on the healthcare side were about $300 million. And losses on the pension side were $27 million. So the majority of this, of these losses and these changes are on the healthcare side. In addition, there's a contribution shortfall. What that means is that the contribution rates that we determine in the actuarial valuation, whenever contributions coming in don't meet that level, there's a shortfall and it adds to the unfunded liability. That was $232 million. So by adding in the expected increase, the decremental losses, and the contribution shortfall, and subtracting out the asset gain, we come up with the unfunded liability this year of roughly $4.4 billion. On the teacher side, same process. The expected increase was $41 million. The asset gain was $15 million. Decremental and other losses was $117 million. Now, the changes from Mercer were about $29 million here, so it was a lot less on the teacher side. The contribution shortfall is $119 million, so the unfunded liability 2005 is now $2.5 billion. The increases in the unfunded liability result in a higher contribution to amortize the unfunded liability, so the employer rates are increasing for both PERS and TERS. Just in summary, the PERS calculated employer cost rate is now 32.43%, which is up 4.24% from 2004. For teachers, it's up 0.36%. Funded ratios declined, as we've seen. PERS is down 4.5%, and teachers is down almost 2%. And with that, I'll open it up to any questions that you have.
I wonder, let me ask any questions of the Buck consultants. They're up to the seat.
Thank you. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. On slide number 21 and slide number 24, in the PERS system, we're seeing a normal cost of 338 and for July 1, 05, and yet we're seeing contributions of 293 in 05 there. So is my interpretation correct that we are not, the system is not contributing the currently accruing liabilities under the funding mechanism we have right now?
Correct. That means that the actual contributions being made aren't meeting the actuarial rate. So there is a contribution shortfall between what is being determined for purposes of funding the plan on an actuarial basis by paying the cost of the accruing benefits as well as amortizing the unfunded liability. To the extent that you don't amortize the unfunded liability, the liability will grow. It grows with interest, and it grows with the cost of the accruing benefits. To the extent that you don't make an amortization payment on that unfunded liability, it grows more, and then it increases the amortization payment in the next year.
Okay, follow up?
Yeah, sure.
And then on page, slide 32 and slide 29, the same thing. It looks like for TERS, the normal cost rate on slide 32 is 119, and the contributions have been 150 million. Mm-hmm. So in the TERS system, then, we are more than paying the normal cost, the accrued liabilities of what are being earned in 2005. And in the PERS system, we're still going backwards based on the currently accruing benefits. Is that, am I reading that right? That's where the two systems are quite different?
Okay, let's see. Let me just look at teachers here. In
it was slide 29 and slide 32.
Okay, in 29, we saw that contributions are coming in at $150 million, and that's for the year ending June 30th of 05. The $150 should be compared to the 2004 annual contribution, which is a normal cost of $117 million and an amortization payment of $146. So what that says is the $150 is sufficient to pay for the cost of the accruing benefits, but it's not sufficient to fully amortize the unfunded liability. So the unfunded liability is growing. In the PERS system, we do the same thing. We look at the contribution of $293 million coming in for the year ending June 30th of 05, and then look at $293, and the normal cost of $296. We see that the $293 falls short by $3 million of paying the normal cost. And then there's no contribution that's being made to the unfunded. So in that situation, over time, you expect that the unfunded liability for the PERS would grow faster than for the teacher system.
Any further questions of Mr. Slinsky? Thank you, Ms. DeLang and Ms. Slinsky, for coming up here to present to the board. We did have some questions for Mr. Bader and Ms. Schubert, though, I think. I want to get an idea of what this means. Why don't you rejoin us, Mr. Bader, Ms. Schubert. Could you, Mr. Bader, the unfunded liability from last year was rough. I think the figure used was $5.7 billion. You've testified that it's really, and Buck has shown that it's roughly $1.2 billion greater than that, $6.9 billion unfunded liability. Could you, what's the state's reaction to that? In other words, what does the state anticipate doing this year to address that unfunded liability in terms of any legislation or advocacy for any appropriations? Does the administration plan to address this through legislation this year? If it's such a significantly higher amount than was saved, Has this raised any concerns with respect to the state's finances, its financing of its bonding obligations, its debt, anything like that? Could you give sort of a policy perspective and a policy impact of what this means to the state?
Mr. Chair, I don't believe I'm in a position to speak for the administration. I know that the ARM board intends to come back to the legislature with suggestions, which of course will be vetted by the legislature and ultimately the administration. But I do not feel that I'm in a position to speak for the administration on its reaction to this. The administration just heard about this as well.
Well then, Ms. Schubert, when does the ARM board intend to come back to the legislature with recommendations?
Mr. Chair, we're hoping that within 2 or 3 weeks we'll be able to come back to you with some recommendations.
Okay, 2 or 3 weeks. So that puts us mid-April, essentially, at conservative, and then we adjourn May 9th, this session. When there's been testimony relative to the unfunded liability before, most of the testimony has been, well, there's things that we can do as an executive branch agency through regulation or through policy tweaking. But for the legislature, the biggest issue seemed to be an appropriation. And the best way to deal with this might be just simply cash. Is that essentially, without binding you to that position, future recommendations, is that what's the discussion within the ARM board?
That is one of the concepts under consideration, but we have not reached consensus on the recommendations that we're going to make to the legislature.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is going on within the ARM board in terms of your, and this is all public, I assume, these deliberations, so it's nothing like you're disclosing something that's untoward. But what is the range of discussions in terms of what the recommendations might be to the legislature, what actions we could take?
If I may, I think that one thing that they want to hear, that the board wants to hear, is this presentation this afternoon regarding this natural resource asset. It would seem that the board probably should hear that before it put forth recommendations to the legislature. What Mr. Simmons shared with the committee earlier seems to be a approach that has traction among board members, but they first heard it yesterday and wanted to give some consideration to that and its impacts before presenting it to the legislature, and certainly to hear everything that's on the table. So I think that the ARM board has this valuation. They have been considering a number of approaches, pension obligation bonds, large natural resource asset, legislation that has been introduced by members on this panel, I'm just hazarding a guess about what the ARM board would do, but I would think that they're going to incorporate some of the things that members of this panel have envisioned as well.
Just one follow-up, then Representative Wilson. The bill that was recently addressed or discussed in this committee that would take a gas asset and transfer it to the ARM board has significant problems with it, just in preliminary discussions we've had with agencies that have been looking at the bill. And it's more likely than not that because of the issues that have been identified that we're going to discuss publicly next week, that bill may have trouble moving at all in its present form, and it would have to be substantially amended in order to have something that's both constitutional and that actually adds value to address to the unfunded liability. So, and I was a promoter of that bill in concept, so just don't hang your hat too high on that bill. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I want to caution a little bit. If we don't, my concern and my interest is if we don't do anything for 10 years at least, then our unfunded liability, I don't know how much it would be actuarially, but I mean, you know, it's kind of a shock to us to see, oh, it's already this much bigger. I personally would like to know, if we don't do anything for 10 years, how much bigger is it going to be? I don't know whether it's huge or small, but it kind of common sense tells
huge.
Me it's probably humongous. So.
Yeah.
And I anticipate, Mr. Boutin, are you here? I anticipate you don't have any preliminary reaction to this from the administration's view.
Would you like me to?
Yes, please. You can stay there, Ms. Schubert, please.
Coming up here to say not me.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I guess I'll be pretty forthright. Tom Boutin, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Revenue. You know, in the revenue transition team, what was that, 2002, the unfunded liability was discussed, and lots of people told the revenue transition team for Governor Murkowski coming in to office about the unfunded liability. So while it continues to grow, I don't think anybody can claim that there's a revelation here. But this information has just been, as Mr. Bader said, has just now been given to the administration. That is the latest number. I don't think anybody in this room is surprised that the unfunded liability continues to grow. Each year, the actuary tells the employers, not just the state, but all employers, what it would take to amortize the unfunded liability over 25 years, and that contribution rate hasn't been met, and so it's kind of obvious that the unfunded liability continues to grow despite earnings, at least in the last few years, have been greater than the actuarially assumed rate of 8.25%, but that's not nearly enough to balance against employer contribution not being as great as what the actuary, be it Mercer, that had some mistakes we've just learned about, or Buck, the new actuary. Either one, you know, the employers haven't made nearly as high a contribution rate as would be required to amortize the unfunded liability even over a 25-year period, let alone bring the unfunded liability to zero.
Questions? Representative
Seat. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not exactly sure who this is for, but my understanding is the employers have not seen any contribution rate increase at all. In other words, last year we passed the 5%, and we passed through the legislature the funding of that 5%, and in the budget this year there's funding of that 5% plus the additional 5%. And so I'm curious as to the Arm Board's their suggestions for how we approach the employers or how we approach the situation so that we actually get increased money to reduce those unfunded liabilities, because obviously within PERS, even 2005, we were going in the hole, not meeting the normal cost liabilities. And is there any consideration of how we, although we make a payment, a contribution, that we somehow tie that to the employers also working toward reducing their unfunded liability?
Well, I can, the Arm Board did adopt higher contribution rates as at, I think at the very first meeting of the Arm Board, Chair Schubert can.
I believe that the rate we adopted for PERS was 21% and 26% for TERS. Mr. Simmons might have something to add on this. And with your permission, I'd like to ask him to come back
certainly
to the table.
Certainly. I would say, Ms. Schubert, and we're going to try and keep to the timeline of the committee, but when we set up the Arm Board, we want you to be as scathingly honest and objective as you possibly can and let the political chips fall where they may. It's very important that the public and the legislature understand the fundamental problem with the system and what needs to be addressed, or what measures need to be addressed to fix it. And earlier when Mr. Simmons had testified, I'd asked that the Arm Board at least consider a number, an amount that should be appropriated. And if the Arm Board characterizes that within a range, that's certainly fine. But the tougher the suggestions are to address the problem, the better it is for us to evaluate it through then our own objective financial and political lenses. So I appreciate the task you have at hand here, But be brutal in your analysis and your recommendations, please, because it's easier to be weak-kneed if we're here, I guess.
Thank you for that comment. And it's my belief that we are really cognizant of that and that we do intend to make recommendations to you to give you something to chew on and think about.
Okay. Mr. Simmons.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The PERS, anyway, is in its, and I believe TERS also, is in its third round of rate increases, and employers did see a 5%. That first 5% came out of the employer's resources. The second 5%, I think you're referring to, came out of with help from the state. And I'm glad to hear, although I'm unaware of it, except for some bills that are here, that there's 10% available in the budget for next year. I hope that gets through. Mm-hmm. It is clear, like we said in our first report, that, and I'd like to reiterate, since the state is expected to have a large budget surplus this year, we recommend the legislature make contributions to the systems in order to increase the funding ratio.
And that's too qualitative.
You want a number.
And I also want to recognize Revenue Commissioner Corbis, who's been here for most of the meeting in the back. Thank you, Commissioner, for coming. Representative Seaton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And you know, the 5% that was brought forward last year and was funded, some of the communities went ahead and made their full their contribution and then used that to help retire their unfunded liability. And I would appreciate it if the Arm Board, when they're considering what's going forward, if they can find any mechanism that would allow us to recognize that and not penalize those employers that seek and put in additional funds to reduce their unfunded liability. I think it's very important for us to, whatever our system, come forward and give credit for that instead of penalty, because otherwise people aren't going to be going forward. So if the Arm Board could consider that and give us suggestions on a mechanism to incorporate that, I would appreciate it.
Any further questions? Again, I want to thank you, Madam Chair, for coming, and also members of the Arm Board and your staff for being here and for working hard on this. It's not a board I really would want to be on.
Thanks very much.
And for the record, Representative Gruenberg has been with us for the meeting. Okay, committee's adjourned.